First century, paragraphs 31 through 40. Number 31. Yet further, you never enjoy the world aright, till you so love the beauty of enjoying it that you are covetous and earnest to persuade others to enjoy it, and so perfectly hate the abominable corruption of man in despising it that you had rather suffer the flames of hell than willingly be guilty of their error. There is so much blindness and ingratitude and damned folly in it. The world is a mirror of infinite beauty, yet no man sees it. It is a temple of majesty, yet no man regards it. It is a region of light and peace, did not man disquiet it. It is the paradise of God. It is more to man since he is fallen than it was before. It is the place of angels and the gate of heaven. When Jacob waked out of his dream, he said, God is here, and I wist it not. How dreadful is this place! There is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Number 32. Can any ingratitude be more damned than that which is fed by benefits, or folly greater than that which bereaveth us of infinite treasures? They despise them merely because they have them, and invent ways to make themselves miserable in the presence of riches. They study a thousand new-fangled treasures which God never made, and then grieve and repine that they be not happy. They dote on their own works and neglect God's, which are full of majesty, riches, and wisdom. And having fled away from them because they are solid, divine, and true, greedily pursuing tinseled vanities, they walk on in darkness and will not understand. They do the works of darkness and delight in the riches of the prince of darkness, and follow them till they come into eternal darkness, according to that of the psalmist, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Number 33. The riches of darkness are those which men have made during their ignorance of God Almighty's treasures, that lead us from the love of all to labor and contention. The works of darkness are repining, envy, malice, covetousness, fraud, oppression, discontent, and violence, all which proceed from the corruption of men and their mistake in the choice of riches. For having refused those which God made and taken to themselves treasures of their own, they invented scarce and rare, insufficient, hard to be gotten, little, movable, and useless treasures, yet as violently pursued them as if they were the most necessary and excellent things in the whole world. And though they are all mad, yet having made a combination, they seem wise, and it is a hard matter to persuade them either to truth or reason. There seemeth to be no way but theirs, whereas God knoweth they are as far out of the way of happiness as the east is from the west. For, by this means, they have let in broils and dissatisfactions into the world, and are ready to eat and devour one another. Particular and feeble interests, false proprieties, insatiable longings, fraud, emulation, murmuring, and dissension being everywhere seen, theft and pride and danger and cozenage, envy and contention, drowning the peace and beauty of nature, as waters cover the sea. Oh, how they are ready to sink always under the burden and cumber of devised wants. Verily, the prospect of their ugly errors is able to turn one's stomach. They are so hideous and deformed. Number 34. Would one think it possible for a man to delight in gaudies like a butterfly and neglect the heavens? Did we not daily see it, it would be incredible. They rejoice in a piece of gold more than the sun, and get a few little glittering stones, and call them jewels, and admire them, because they be resplendent like the stars, and transparent like the air, and pellucid like the sea. But the stars themselves, which are 10,000 times more useful, great and glorious, they disregard. Nor shall the air itself be counted anything, though it be worth all the pearls and diamonds in 10,000 worlds. A work of God so divine by reason of its precious and pure transparency that all worlds would be worth nothing without such a treasure. Number 35. The riches of the light are the works of God, which are the portion and inheritance of his sons, to be seen and enjoyed in heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is therein, the light and the day, great and fathomless in use and excellency, true, necessary, freely given, proceeding wholly from his infinite love, as worthy as they are easy to be enjoyed, obliging us to love him and to delight in him, filling us with gratitude, and making us to overflow with praises and thanksgivings. The works of contentment and pleasure are of the day. So are the works which flow from the understanding of our mutual serviceableness to each other, arising from the sufficiency and excellency of our treasures. Contentment, joy, peace, unity, charity, etc., whereby we are all knit together and delight in each other's happiness. For while every one is heir of all the world, and all the rest his superadded treasures, all the world serves him in himself, and he delights in them as his superadded treasures. Number 36. The common error which makes it difficult to believe all the world to be wholly ours is to be shunned as a rock of shipwreck, or a dangerous quicksands. For the poison which they drank hath infatuated their fancies, and now they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the world are out of course. It is safety not to be with them, and a great part of happiness to be freed from their seducing and enslaving errors. That while others live in a Golgotha or prison, we should be in Eden, is a very great mystery. And a mystery it is that we should be rejoicing in the temple of heaven while they are toiling and lamenting in hell, for the world is both a paradise and a prison to different persons. Number 37. The brightness and magnificence of this world, which by reason of its height and greatness is hidden from men, is divine and wonderful. It addeth much to the glory of the temple in which we live. Yet it is the cause why men understand it not. They think it too great and wide to be enjoyed. But since it is all filled with the majesty of his glory who dwells in it, and the goodness of the Lord fills the world, and his wisdom shineth everywhere within it and about it, and it aboundeth in an infinite variety of services, we need nothing but open eyes to be ravished like the cherubims. Well may we bear the greatness of the world, since it is our storehouse and treasury. That our treasures should be endless is an happy inconvenience, that all regions should be full of joys, and the room infinite wherein they are seated. Number 38. You never enjoy the world aright till you see all things in it so perfectly yours, that you cannot desire them any other way, until you are convinced that all things serve you best in their proper places. For can you desire to enjoy anything a better way than in God's image? It is the height of God's perfection that hideth his bounty, and the lowness of your base and sneaking spirit that make you ignorant of his perfection. Every one hath in him a spirit with which he may be angry. God's bounty is so perfect that he giveth all things in the best of manners, making those to whom he giveth so noble, divine, and glorious that they shall enjoy in his similitude. Nor can they be fit to enjoy in his presence or in communion with him that are not truly divine and noble. So that you must have glorious principles implanted in your nature, a clear eye able to see afar off, a great and generous heart, apt to enjoy at any distance, a good and liberal soul, prone to delight in the felicity of all, and an infinite delight to be their treasure. Neither is it any prejudice to you that this is required, for there is great difference between a worm and a cherubim. And it more concerneth you to be an illustrious creature than to have the possession of the whole world. Number 39. Your enjoyment is never right till you esteem every soul so great a treasure as our Savior doth, and that the laws of God are sweeter than the honey and honeycomb, because they command you to love them all in such perfect manner. For how are they God's treasures? Are they not the riches of his love? Is it not his goodness that maketh him glorious to them? Can the sun or stars serve him any other way than by serving them? And how will you be the son of God but by having a great soul like unto your fathers. The laws of God command you to live in his image, and to do so is to live in heaven. God commandeth you to love all like him, because he would have you to be his son, all them to be your riches, you to be glorious before them, and all the creatures in serving them to be your treasures, while you are his delight, like him in beauty and the darling of his bosom. Number 40. Socrates was wont to say, they are most happy and nearest the gods that needed nothing. And coming once up into the exchange at Athens, where they that traded asked him, what will you buy? What do you lack? After he had gravely walked up into the middle, spreading forth his hands and turning about, good gods, saith he, who would have thought there were so many things in the world which I do not want, and so left the place under the reproach of nature. He was wont to say, that happiness consisteth not in having many, but in needing the fewest things. For the gods needed nothing at all, and they were most like them that least needed. We needed heaven and earth, our senses, such souls and such bodies, with infinite riches in the image of God to be enjoyed, which God of his mercy, having freely prepared, they are most happy that so live in the enjoyment of those, as to need no accidental trivial things, no splendors, pomps, and vanities. Socrates, perhaps being a heathen, knew not that all things proceeded from God to man, and by man returned to God. But we that know it must need all things as God doth, that we may receive them with joy, and live in his image.